Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Brian Lehrer Show. Filling in for Brian today, I'm Juan Manuel Benitez of New York One Noticias. Most South Koreans want their president to go, and on Tuesday, she offered to resign. Park Geun-hye is engulfed in a big corruption scandal involving a close friend, Choi Soon-sil. The president herself admits she might have shared too much information with her friend, who used her clout to get money and favors from big companies and other organizations. On top of that, the South Korean parliament wants to impeach President Park. So why is she still in power? Here to help us understand is Charles Armstrong, a professor of Korean studies at Columbia University and a fellow at the Asia Society. Charles, welcome back to WNYC.
Good to be with you.
So Charles, can you tell us, to start with, what is President Park actually accused of, if she's been accused of anything?
Well, first we'd have to go back to the history a little bit. I'll try to summarize this as briefly as possible. Going back to 1974, when Park Geun-hye's father was president of South Korea, Park Chung-hee, he came to power in a military coup in 1961. In 1974, an assassin attempted to kill the president, President Park Chung-hee. He missed and killed the current president's mother, and then President Park himself was assassinated in 1979. In 1975, apparently, Park Geun-hye met a man who was the head of a kind of cult, a church called the Church of Eternal Life, who claimed to be able to communicate with Park's mother. And the issue is that she sort of came under the spell of this man who died about 20 years ago, but his daughter is this Choi Soon-sil, who it's been revealed has had a great deal of influence on Park's policy. So there's two things that are going on that she's being accused of. One is outsourcing possibly very sensitive government policy to this woman who was not elected, who has no security clearance, who is a personal friend and sort of out there in this cultish environment. And the second thing is that this woman, Che, has been using her connections to the president to bilk South Korean companies of money for her private foundation, something like $70 million. So oddly, it's not that the president herself is corrupt in the sense of her taking money, but that her friend has been extorting money out of these companies for her own personal use. And this was all has been all revealed in the last year.
But all these connections of President Park with this family were well known before she got elected, correct? Why is it now that the South Koreans are so surprised and they want her out?
Well, the connection was known, but the details weren't revealed until last October. And then as more and more has come out, people have been quite upset to realize that their president has been outsourcing her policy to this shaman or this woman, and that this person has been using her influence to get money from Korean companies such as Samsung and others. But this is also kind of an expression of dissatisfaction with President Park going back a long way that have a lot of other issues, her sort of aloofness, her mishandling of the economy, the problems with North Korea and so forth. This has all come to a head. And in a way, this connection to her friend sort of is the match that lit the flame of discontent. And now there have been demonstrations in the hundreds of thousands, if not the millions, regularly on the streets of Seoul demanding for her to resign. And the opposition politicians have said they're going to vote for impeachment by next Friday.
Right. Demonstrations that have happened also here in New York City. Many South Korean Americans have taken to the streets to asking for her resignation. And maybe some of our listeners are Korean Americans and they want President Park to leave office. So we want to hear from you. If you're a Korean American living in New York who went to some of these demonstrations, you can call us at 212-433-WNYC. That is 212-433-9688. 1992. You were talking, Charles, how she was already popular. She was nicknamed Notebook Princess. Can you tell us why?
Well, she is known to be very much of a micromanager. But now it turns out that she was asking for advice, but just not to the right people. And not really, you know, sort of listening to the people who she should have been within her cabinet, within her government. She's a very sort of distant and aloof person, maybe to do with her rather traumatic past. Her approval rating now is really at rock bottom. Some say 4 to 5%, according to some polls. So it's about as low as you can get. There is an election scheduled for next December, but it's hard. You know, even if she managed to somehow survive her term, her government's really pretty much paralyzed right now.
Right, and she has more 50 more months to go, right, in her term?
Well, the election is scheduled for next December, and then she would be in until February, so about 14 months.
Right. So, like I said in my introduction, so the South Korean parliament wants to impeach her. She offered to resign. So people might be asking, so why is she still in power? Why isn't she gone by now?
Well, she said that she would resign if there was an orderly transition in place. So it isn't exactly that she tendered her resignation. I mean, there are two possibilities. One is that she decides to resign, and then they have to hold an election in 60 days, and none of the parties are prepared to hold an election in such a short period of time. The other possibility is that she would be impeached, and that hasn't been formally decided yet, and the Constitutional Court would have to agree to that, and that would take 180 days. So even if her resignation or impeachment went forward, she wouldn't step down as president, or she wouldn't she would no longer be removed, wouldn't be removed from office right away. If she were impeached, then there would be a caretaker government led by the prime minister.
Listeners, we're talking to Charles Armstrong. He's a professor of Korean studies at Columbia University and a fellow at the Asia Society. We're talking about South Korean President Park Geun-hye. She's been asked, well, South Koreans want her to leave office, and parliament wants to impeach her. She has offered to resign. So basically, Charles, what's happening is that the president, President Park, is trying to buy time, buy her some time, instead of just leaving immediately?
Yes, that seems to be the case. People have criticized her for foot dragging. Her friend is under investigation by the prosecution. She has presidential immunity, but some have said that she's not fully cooperating with prosecutors. A couple of weeks ago, she seemed pretty adamant about staying, but just earlier this week, she said she would resign under the right circumstances. So it's not an unconditional offer to resign. She does seem to be trying to hang on as long as she can.
Listeners, if you are familiar with South Korean politics, or maybe you are a Korean-American who went to those demonstrations asking for the resignation of President Park, you can call us right now and give us your opinion at 212-433-WNYC. That is 212-433-9692. Is also the opposition to President Park, Charles, is it united, or maybe that offer from President Park of resigning is trying to basically divide not only people in her own party, but also within the opposition?
I think that's right. The opposition is divided. There are three parties in opposition. The party of the president is actually a minority party now. There was a parliamentary election earlier this year. Although more than half the National Assembly is non-government parties, they don't have a unified front by any means. As I said, part of the problem is if she resigned, they'd have to hold a new election within 2 months, and the opposition just isn't ready to field a presidential candidate in that short of a time. So it would be really a chaotic situation, and I think President Park is sort of exploiting that to try to drag things out a little bit longer.
And Charles, Go ahead.
And in the meantime, there are lots of complications going on in the world. We have a presidential transition in this country. Of course, the U.S. is a very important ally of South Korea. And then North Korea is a problem for the South as well. If North Korea has another nuclear test or some event, you know, how will the South Korean government respond when they're in such a state of paralysis. So it's becoming a real crisis of governing in South Korea right now.
I don't know if you can give us some information or background on what Washington thinks of this. Is the Obama administration concerned about the situation right now in South Korea?
They have expressed concern, but they're not taking sides in this. You know, they're not asking for the president to resign. But my understanding is the position that Washington holds is that this is a matter for the Koreans to resolve, but that they should resolve it sooner rather than later because there are a lot of important issues, not least North Korea, which is a perennial, you know, crisis for South Korea and the U.S. that have to be dealt with. But it is pretty extraordinary. We haven't seen anything like this in South Korea in terms of the size of the protests, in terms of the crisis of government in decades.
So be it President Park or any other person, the presidency in South Korea, would that change the relationship that South Korea has with the United States? And also on this side, in the United States, do you think that a Trump presidency might change any kind of foreign policy regarding South Korea?
Well, a lot of South Koreans were very concerned about some things that Trump had been saying during the campaign. He seemed to suggest that the U.S. would reduce its military commitment to South Korea, and even said at one point that maybe South Korea should have its own nuclear weapons, which some Koreans support, but that could really complicate and destabilize the situation in Northeast Asia. Trump has since backtracked on that and said that he will maintain the alliance. But if the opposition comes to power or takes a presidency in South Korea, there might be a very different approach to the North. Park Geun-hye's government has been pretty hawkish in recent years, in the last couple of years, toward the North. They talked a lot about unification, about sort of exploiting problems within North Korea to essentially see that the regime changes. But an opposition government, you know, she's in the on the conservative side, a more liberal government might take a more engaging policy toward the North and interact more with the North. And this might create a gap between the U.S. and South Korea in dealing with North Korea. So there's a lot of very critical issues up in the air right now, which we won't know what direction they'll go until we have a stable government in South Korea.
Charles, let's take some phone calls. So we have Brandon in Greenwich, Connecticut. Brandon, good morning. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Hi. Thank you for having me on. Dr. Armstrong, this is Brandon Gaucher, and I wanted to inquire a quick question to you. To what extent is the current popular opposition to Park Geun-hye's presidency a consequence beyond this current crisis of widespread anger about the authoritarian tendencies of her father, Park Chung-hee, and to what extent the legacy of her father's dictatorship might be driving popular opposition now to her presidency during this crisis?
Thank you for the question, Brandon. Charles?
I think that's a good question. Her father was a very divisive figure. There are people who adore him for bringing economic development in South Korea, and then a lot of people who despise him for his authoritarian ways as more or less a dictator for a good part of his term. And many people have criticized Park Geun-hye herself for not just being aloof and distant, but really kind of authoritarian in her own approach to control the press, to control the opposition. And so there's a deep dissatisfaction with Park Geun-hye on many fronts. And that also has to do with the attitude toward her authoritarian father as well. She's, you know, the inheritor of that. And I think we see this all coming to head. It's not so much about the scandal itself in details, but about, as I said, the problems that people have with Park as a president in general.
Thank you, Charles. We're going to hear from Fitzcarl in the Bronx. Fitzcarl, welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I used to be an English teacher in South Korea for several years and maintained contact with friends. I have maintained contact with friends throughout the years. And when she came into office, I mean, young people in particular were, you know, horrified. And actually, she wasn't even brought in by young people. It was mostly older people who remembered, you know, nostalgically her father and what he did for the country despite being a dictator. And she basically her handling of the Sewald, particularly the Sewald tragedy, after that, if you didn't know that, you know, something was wrong with this woman, then, you know, you were, like, dead, brain dead. And it was just, you know, one thing after another, and people finally had enough. And my experience living in Korea is that, you know, people take to the streets. People, you know, show, you know, this is what democracy looks like. I hope the same thing happens here. The same thing is happening here, because we seem to be having, you know, we're going to be having something similar with a crazy man coming to lead us. Oh, yay, yay.
Thank you, Fitzcarl. So, Charles, that's a really good comment, also because we know that South Korean police arrested someone yesterday, I think it was, believed to have set fire to the birthplace of the father of President Park, right? Destroying part of the memorial that draws South Koreans who revere the military dictator.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. The caller referred to the Sewol Ferry incident of 2.5 years ago, in which a couple of hundred young people drowned because of the mismanagement of the ferry. And a lot of people blame the president for overseeing this very corrupt kind of system and also for disappearing. There's this mysterious 7 hours that people are talking about during the middle of this crisis where children were drowning, and nobody knew where the president was. One rumor, it hasn't been substantiated, is that she was with her friend Che having some sort of mystical ritual of some kind. We don't know. But again, this is reflective of the view of the president as someone who's not in touch, who doesn't care about her people, and also a real dissatisfaction with the daughter of what many people see as a despised dictator becoming president. And it's true. She was mostly elected by the older, more conservative group of Koreans, and a lot of the younger people really don't like her, and they certainly don't want to be reminded of her father's dictatorship.
And like we said, we saw demonstrations also here in New York City asking for her resignation. Is it that South Korea has a long history of protest movements, or this is just a new thing that we've never seen before?
Well, South Korea does have a long history of protest movements, and the last military ruler was brought down in the late 80s when millions of people came out in the streets to protest. And in fact, the first South Korean president resigned in 1960 in the face of protest. So Korea has a long history of this. But what's extraordinary, and I hear this from my friends in South Korea now, is the degree of organization and activism and energy in these protests, which, as I've said, bring in literally millions of people, over a million people in a single protest in the streets of Seoul out of a population of 50 million and around other parts of the country as well. And the protesters are saying they're not going to stop until the president steps down. This has been going on for weeks now, and there's no sign of it letting up.
So, Charles, knowing now the three opposition parties said today in South Korea that they would vote December 9th on a motion to impeach President Park, and given that her own party, the party hopes that she will agree to resign by April instead. Mm-hmm. With that information, with your expertise, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I hope that she resigns. I think that would be a better option than impeachment. Impeachment would be messy. It would be much more embarrassing, and it would create a lot of complications going forward. She's not a person who is easy to read, and she has suggested that it would be difficult for her to resign. But my sense is that she will probably resign before the impeachment goes forward. And then they'll have to scramble to have a new election. But the longer she stays on, the more difficult it's going to be to govern the country. And the fact that she's resisted resigning so far has shown to a lot of people that she does have this authoritarian streak in her. Some people would say inherited from her father, that many people find very disturbing and distressing.
We'll see what happens. Thank you so much, Charles Armstrong, professor of Korean studies at Columbia University.
Thank you.
Up next, the Trump presidency and the concerns of some within the LGBTQ community. We will talk about this with the president of GLAAD. Don't go away.